It's night, dark and cold. I walk in the city alone in the crowd.
Islamic laws.
Every street, every store is filled with colors and smiles as before. I know clouds are hidden behind these faces. Is there anyone who has a sunny heart? I put on my headphones and play the song, which repeats the enchanting whisper. I say, why is my heart set on fire when I hear your name?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Well, in which we are going to deal with some of the questions and answers or of jurisprudential nature related to the event of Arba'in, according to fatwas issued by Martyr Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, before that, let's take a listen to a short break and we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Stay tuned. Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws and Islamic laws related to the Arba'in pilgrimage, according to fatwas by the late martyr Ayatollah Khamenei. Let me start off this episode, Sheikh Javid, with this question. You know, there is this enthusiasm and joy in the hearts of Muslims, particularly I'm talking about the Shias, and once this fire is ignited, they want to do everything within their power to get their hands to Karbala and do the pilgrimage, in fact, to that area in Iraq in order to, let's say, quench their thirst or answer their desire, in fact, for the fact that they have such a high regard for Imam Hussein and his noble companions. So is it permissible when they are so much, intent on going to Karbala, if they don't have a passport, if they don't have a visa, is it permissible one way or another to get their hands on a passport, or is it necessary to have a valid passport in this regard or in this situation, which is very difficult, especially during those times, because there is always rush from the neighboring countries,
yes, of course,
to rally and march toward Iraq and Karbala. And it's very much crowded. So is it obligatory to have a valid passport and a visa to travel or to be among the pilgrims on this path to Arba'in, for example, during Arba'in or to Iraq?
Well, you are right. There are thousands of devout Muslims who want to participate in the Arba'in rally, and no matter what it might cost them. His Eminence, al-Shaheed Ayatollah Sayyid Ali al-Khamenei, says that it is necessary to comply with the pertinent laws and regulations. So compliance with the laws and regulations is necessary in all circumstances, and any violation of such laws is not permissible according to him. So if, you know, visiting Karbala, you know, taking part in the rally is not wajib, it's not, you know, compulsory, and one should not, you know, violate a law, you know, violate the rules of a country, trying to push for visiting Karbala in, at any cost. Of course, he can wait. Of course, he has time. He has, there are years to come, and he can wait till he is able to acquire a valid passport, and then in the following year he can take action for visiting Karbala or the holy sites.
Mm-hmm, I see. Sheikh Chabit, can college students take time off during the school year or educational year in order to attend the Arbaeen pilgrimage?
Well, students must also abide by the pertinent rules and regulations. They are not an exception. So, especially when the university requires them to stay in college and their colleges or university and continue taking part in the lessons. So they should actually abide by the rules and regulations and not violate them.
Ah, I see. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Stay with us. Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, host of this program, and Sheikh Chabit, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws about the mourning ceremony of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, and some of these laws related to Arbaeen pilgrimage. Sheikh Chabit, a woman has pledged to offer food as a religious vow every year on the occasion of Arbaeen. This year, she intends to participate in the Arbaeen pilgrimage herself. And so, on the day of Arbaeen, she'll be in Iraq, of course, and not in her hometown, where she had originally made the pledge. So, how does the pilgrimage affect the status, the religious status of her pledge or vow or nazr, and how can she fulfill it?
Well, it depends. If she has not uttered the specific legally prescribed formula, which they call sigha of nazar, let's say, she's not under any religious obligation to carry out the pledge,
mm-hmm.
because there is no formula. She didn't recite any formula in the first place, so actually she's not under the obligation to carry out or fulfill that pledge. Okay, she made a promise. In her mind, without reciting or uttering any formula, that does not make it obligatory. It's not going to be binding. But if she indeed uttered the prescribed formula in accordance with the conditions specified in Islamic law, then she must honor her pledge because she made a nazr, and a nazr has to be acted upon accordingly. And it is not permissible for her to do otherwise, to act against it or to violate the nazr that she made.
Mm-hmm. What about her intention? Can her intention suffice it to call it a nazr then?
No, and the intention is not enough, okay? When if you want to make a legally binding nazr, it's necessary to utter the formula.
To pronounce that formula,
which is to say, okay, it is a duty from Allah upon me to, let's say, to give food to the pilgrims on a specific day. And it can be done in Arabic, it can be done in any language that mm-hmm. she or he speaks.
I see. Imagine that, Sheikh Javid, that somebody has made a pledge whose date of fulfillment is the day of Arba'in. Can the same individual perform their pledge on the day prior to Arba'in?
Well, again, I should say that if he did not pronounce the formula, he is not under any religious obligation on account of the pledge. Mm-hmm. He is not supposed to fulfill it. And so he may move the date as he sees fit, as he sees appropriate. He can do it any time before the Arba'in or even after the Arba'in season. So because that was not fixed, and it was not a it's not a binding formula because he did not pronounce the formula of Nazr. But if he has uttered the specific formula prescribed by the Islamic Sharia in accordance with the Islamic Sharia, of course, then this pledge must be acted upon and must be fulfilled. Anyone who makes such a pledge must act in accordance with the conditions of the pledge he made.
Mm-hmm. Even if the same individual has pledged, whose actually date of the fulfillment is Arba'in, can the same individual change the time later?
I did say that if it was pronounced, the formula was pronounced, he should act according to the formula. He should act according. He should fulfill the nazar on the very specified day. Mm-hmm. Okay. If he did not pronounce the formula, it's not binding. He can move the date, and do it anytime he deems fit.
Sooner or later.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much, Javid, and thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Every breath that you did take, every step that you would make, purpose and guidance it gave, mankind's heart it reawaked. Many people did leave the first teachings received, Hussein planned to retrieve, loss of faith he perceived. Many people did leave the first teachings received, Hussein planned to retrieve, loss of faith he perceived. Guide, you would be in place of Rasul to restore the sacred bridge. Light, you would radiate in the dark and continue the message. When you passed through arid sand, met foreigners of